the back.
You're good.
We just wanted to check one small thing, but here, this list says 19.12, and it's 19.1 in the contract, but I'm guessing this changed when we did the sick leave and other stuff.
The reopeners. Not the last one, but the one before that, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because we did leaves. We did some leaves changes.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be in here.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to worry about the number.
Okay, that's any other questions on?
I don't have any other questions.
Okay, sounds like we're close. On 11. Here, I think we're closer together on several of the components in 11. The first place where we picked up some language is in 11.2 and D. This is about the teaching evaluations.
Mm-hmm.
What we're willing to do is, it says beginning in the 2018-2019 academic year, faculty are required to submit at least one exemplar of teaching quality in addition to the standard university teaching assessment material. Exemplars should be consistent with indicators in the tenure and promotion guidelines, such as outcomes, assessment data, peer review, syllabi, et cetera, et cetera. And then we've also included acceptable supplemental exemplars may also be outlined in departmental unit bylaws.
Okay.
So previously you all had proposed that it just said required. We think that it's beneficial to have a number in there, so it's at least one is required, so faculty have a sense of the it's not necessarily a limiting principle, but they have a sense of like the required components. And the reason we're saying beginning the 2018-2019 year, it's just so they can have a chance to anticipate that. And specifically, we think it's beneficial also to allow departmental bylaws, if there's an exemplar that is specific to their department, right, mm-hmm. that's not in the tenure and promotion guidelines, they would have the opportunity to define those in their bylaws.
Okay.
Because we've got, I think, 30 to 40 departments on campus and units now. It's just, you know, the variations are a lot.
Yeah.
We don't have a response yet on the 2-week window for classroom observation. That's something we're still reviewing and considering right now. For sustained performance, we have some changes here. In B2, we still have the language that says when a faculty member elects to utilize the one-time, one-year postponement, the faculty member's next and all subsequent SPEs will follow a 6-year schedule from the 1-year postponement, right? So that's a place, I think, where we moved closer to you guys last time. Initially, we said that the faculty member would choose. Here, we're willing to accept that it's a 6-year schedule from the 1-year postponement. Now, we've added some language to the drop at the bottom of that page. Last time we talked about, Mike, you mentioned a scenario where if a faculty member is jumping in and out of drop as a way to avoid SPE, right? So we've retained the component that a faculty member would not go through an SPE if they're in drop or face retirement, but we've also added language that says should a faculty member discontinue participation in the drop program or the face retirement program, the faculty member would have and the faculty member would have been scheduled for but did not receive an SPE while enrolled in drop or face retirement, the faculty member will receive an SPE upon exiting drop or face retirement. The SPE received upon exiting drop or face retirement will evaluate the 6 years for which the SPE was originally scheduled. Okay, so if someone is jumping in and out of drop, if they come out of drop and they missed an SPE, they would receive an SPE on coming out of drop, and it would still be, they wouldn't escape that 6-year window, right?
Okay.
It was still near that 6-year window.
I understand.
I wasn't exactly sure.
Can
I ask you?
Please.
So if they changed drop in year 5, and normally would be they came back, so then they would have it in year 6, like nothing happened.
If they were, yeah. If they did,
okay.
If they didn't,
if they did it in year 6. Then when they came back, they would get it when they came back.
Right, yeah, so
you're
if,
seven in a way.
Like let's say you're in drop and you move past when you would have received
right.
an SPE,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
You know, so are you going to drop like a year before you go into SPE, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then you say, you know what, I'm coming out of drop after
right.
that year's passed.
Right.
At that point you would get an SPE and it would be over that same 6 years that you would have originally received it for.
If your SPE is the second year in drop, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And your SP would it be in the second year in drop, and you're in drop in your fourth year. You don't go 6 years back from the fourth year of drop. You go back 6 years
to when you should have had it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
basically yeah. stick with your schedule.
It's the exact same window
okay.
of...
stick with the SP schedule, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. As much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have, let's see, some of this other language, things we already agreed, this is language we were already in agreement on. My understanding, if they go up the same year, the amount of the SPE tier increase will be at the rate of the new rank if both are successful. We'd already talked about that. We'd also, in agreement on the dossier materials for a faculty member will reflect the 6 years corresponding to the SPE.
Correct.
One change that we've made, a sticking point that we had was about the intention for the language of the review process and how the file goes from department chair to college personnel to dean and the level of nuance that each review committee has at each step, right? So we had proposed previously that all three advisory groups would not only say if the tenure criteria has been met, but would also propose a tier ranking for the SPE. At the previous session, you all proposed that the dean would make a recommendation of tier, and the other two committees would only, the department chair and the college personnel committee, would only say whether or not tenure criteria has been met. Now, our concern, the problem is we believe that first of all these committees are advisory, right? None of these
right.
things are binding, and that we want those. That we believe that the spirit with which we negotiated this is that they would all have an equivalent level of persuasion or level of nuance in their evaluation, right? There wouldn't be a thumb placed on the scale for one reviewing committee over the other, right? So what we're willing to say is that now all advisory SPE reviewing bodies, inclusive of the department chair, college personnel committee, and dean, shall make a recommendation as to whether or not the dossier has met university and departmental tenure criteria. Right. So we're willing to put all three groups into that same category.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then we've included language that says, while no advisory SPE reviewing body shall make an explicit recommendation as to this SPE tier, no advisory reviewing body shall be restricted in the selection scope or nuance of language used in its recommendation, right? Because this was another potential problem that we saw sometimes in the implementation of these evaluations, is that when some reviewing bodies were making comments, there was conflict about what language they could use. Were they implicitly
okay.
recommending a tier, right? So we're willing to say that only the provost, and that language follows from that below, right, where it says that the provost will make a final decision as to whether the departmental university tenure have been met and will assign the SPE tier, right? So that's I think we're hoping that's a middle ground on that.
All right.
We have still retained the language here at the end that says upon successful completion of a performance improvement plan that the faculty member will receive a tier two salary increase. And I can't remember if we put this forward at the last time as well, but we're also willing to say that the next SPE will follow a new six-year schedule beginning with the academic year following the academic year of completion of the performance improvement plan, right? So that whenever you finish the performance improvement plan, it's a six-year schedule from
okay.
the next one. And that we think that would match with receiving a tier two increase. Last time you guys had proposed $1,000, we're glad to see we're moving in similar directions. It's important to remember, I think, that the tier two increase is actually not that far off. It's $2,000 for an associate professor for Tier 2 and $4,000 for a full professor. And the language, the goal of both the performance improvement plan and a Tier 2 increase is to be up to tenure level, right? You know, right. So the language is aligned on those, I think, as well. That's all we have right now.
Does anybody have any questions? Kim?
So I'm trying to, so the Tier 2 increase, so what we proposed in the last one was 1,000, so you're saying just bump it up to a 4 dependent on rank?
Yes, so it would be, because it mirrors the language about the performance improvement plan for the sustained performance says the goal of that is to bring them up to the 10-year standards, right? You know, and so that, we think that would mirror the amount of increase on a successful completion.
Okay.
Of the improvement plan, not of the SPE, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because if you receive a three-year improvement plan,
it would be 9 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
This makes it, you want to get this done sooner, because I think you want to have a little bit of a window in there. I think it was 1 year.
Yeah.
Since we pushed that 6 years out, it's in, you know, the faculty member wants to get this done as quickly as possible for the opportunity to have yet another.
Right. One. Right. Because their clock is extended.
Right.
Okay. Good. I do not have any questions. I understand the purpose of the proposed language. Does anybody else have anything? Why don't we, if you don't mind, Jonathan, we'll take a caucus.
Okay.